If you have your Bible this morning, we're in Psalm 100. Psalm 100, Thanksgiving message this morning, and we're going to work some things into this that you wouldn't normally see on a Sunday morning, but hopefully it'll be enjoyable to you. How many are glad you're here? How many wish they weren't? All right, so you're all glad you're here. That's good news, huh? Psalm 100, why don't you stand with me, please? And let's take a look at this passage that you're all familiar with. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." And all God's people said,
amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this terrific passage in your word. And God, I pray that we are truly thankful this morning, that we recognize your favor on us, what you've done for us. And as Donald just saying, how great you are. You're an awesome God, and we get to be in your pasture. I pray this morning that we'll truly be thankful for the life that you have blessed us with. Watch over our time, please, and guide it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but this past Thursday, obviously, we were at, for my own story, we're at three different homes. Went to my mom and dad's for breakfast, my first in-laws for lunch, and my second in-laws for supper, and obviously well-fed and well-taken care of, and everybody was thrilled to see me. I don't know about how it went for you, but, you know, you know, when you're famous, you have to, you know, spread it around, and that's pathetic. I know, it's awful. So, obviously, you know, family time, all those things are wonderful, but I like what Harry Ironside, he said. He said, "We would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction." I like that. And obviously, we're still talking about Harry Ironside and the things that he was famous for. There's a fly on my pulpit, and I'm going to kill it. He's dead. All right. Now, y'all, there you go. Ta-da. I'll tell you, it's just incredible how what happens here on a Sunday morning. So, three things I'm thankful for this morning. I'll start with F. It's the grades I got in school. Number one, I'm thankful for family. The key of the building block in society is family. Before government, before the church, there was the family. We're going to dedicate a baby this morning. So while I'm talking, if you folks would go ahead and grab the new youngster and bring him up here. And I'm going to read some verses while they're coming. Ephesians 5, 31 to 33 says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. They two shall be one flesh." This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." And then at the end of that, that's the end of chapter 5 in Ephesians. And then at chapter 6, it starts right off on the verses that we were drilled as kids. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurturing and the admonition of the Lord." And obviously this morning we're dedicating a baby. I had the privilege of conducting their wedding, which as the pastor of this church I get to do from time to time. And obviously to be married in this church you have to go through a 6-week counseling session. Well, not 6 weeks, but 6 times you meet together. Sometimes it's 6 weeks, sometimes you try to compress it and get it in sooner. But obviously, so I get to talk to them, and I'm telling you, these two were a treat. And the desire that she had for her future husband and stuff, and you know, I'm sitting there wanting to take notes and go home and read it to my wife so that, you know, she could be inspired. And it was great stuff. But obviously, so I conducted their wedding. And I just thought, as a reminder, I'm going to give you the opening remarks that I shared at their wedding if you weren't there. So I have down 5/21/16. Is that right? May 21st is your anniversary. See, I didn't know if that was the date I made the notes or if that was the date of the wedding. So there, you helped me on that. 1:00 Saturday at Cornerstone Baptist Church. Does that sound right? Okay, so Gabriel Stephen Hirschbein and Megan Faye Willett. Psalm 37:23. These are all the things I said at their wedding. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God has ordered the steps of these two people to this point in their life where today they will publicly declare their love for one another in their wedding ceremony. From the foundation of the world, God knew that this day was coming. Walt Disney has made a great deal of money on the storyline of Prince rescuing the princess. The princess is in distress. The prince comes riding in on his white horse. He sees the beautiful princess, and it is love at first sight. He vanquishes the enemy, and they ride off to live happily ever after. The story assumes that the struggle in life ends when you meet the right person, hence the meeting happily ever after. Prince Gabe met Princess Meghan while working on the farm. Maybe Princess Meghan has stepped in something that Prince needed to rescue her from. My understanding, it was not love at first sight. Is that true? Yeah, okay, fine. So, now I've said all that to say that that was back, you know, in 16, and now here we are. Is it 16? Is that right? Is that the wedding date? And now here we are. We didn't know then that this would be here now. But you see God's providence and watch care over them and blessing in their life and their family. And God knew from the foundation of the world, just like when they got married, that Nathan would be here. And Nathan, Gabriel Hirschbein, July 21st, 2017, 7 pounds, 10 ounces, 19 and 3/4 inches long. And I thought he was born at home, but he started at home, and then we decided to go to the hospital, which I was going to say to my wife that, you know, maybe if we have another child, it would be one of those home birth things, you know. So, and she's up running. She's shaking her head, no. What's the matter, hon? You know? So obviously, that's very inspiring to me. Gabe, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Meghan, do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Do you recognize that Nathan is the most alert baby I've ever dedicated? Well, I just want to stop right now. He's actually looking right at me. This shows that he may not grow up to be a Baptist, because Baptists generally sleep through church, and there's, you know, and so he's very alert. So do you recognize that Nathan is a gift from God? Do you recognize it's your responsibility to model in front of him a life that he would want to model? Okay? So now what the deal is on this is we don't ask them to dedicate their child. They ask us. It's their choice, not ours. And we love doing this. But the responsibility now is that they are publicly saying they want to raise their son in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And in that public statement comes our responsibility that lovingly, we're not tyrants around here, lovingly, we're going to do our best that we can to help them and honestly hold them to this promise. Do you recognize the risk that you're taking on this, okay? But obviously, man, oh man, this guy is something special. And for you to recognize that God has saved you and you want God to save him as well, right? So to the best of your ability, when he becomes old enough, you're going to encourage him to trust Christ as well. Is that correct? Okay. So this is a pretty good package right here, isn't it, huh? You can't, listen, and what baffles me is how the world tries to diminish this package right here. Because I don't know of anything that's greater than a man and a woman loving one another, coming together and creating another life. And that is God's plan. So let's bow our heads and ask God's blessing on this family. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Gabe and Meghan. We thank you that they got married. They did it God's way. Now they're here with a child that they want to raise in God's way. And I pray this little boy will grow up to love you and have a heart for the things of you. And Lord, they're a special couple that I feel privileged to be their pastor. And I pray that you'd help them and give them supernatural ability, that when the times of questions come and in trying to figure out what the best thing is to do for their son, I pray that you'd give them the answers that they are looking for through God's word, through your spirit, through the lives of caring, loving Christian individuals around them, that they'd make good choices, that their son would never question what is right and what is wrong in the eyes of God. Lord, help them to do these things and more, please. Thank you for their public statement of their belief in you and their desire to raise a godly son. Bless them, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you guys. All right, buddy. Let me give you a kiss. You are perfect. Yes, here. Thank you. In the news this week, you probably saw it, so did I. I grew up watching the Partridge Family. You know, obviously, I look back at some of those old shows now and you think, what did I see in that? But we did and we loved it. And obviously, the story of the family and obviously, David Cassidy passed away and his daughter posted what his dying words were. And from what I understand, his last words were, so much wasted time. So much wasted time. I just want to encourage you as we look at a young family, and obviously I'm a dad and we have parents in the room, and you know, there is some, you can't go back. But it doesn't mean you need, if something's wrong in the past, it doesn't mean you need to go forward in the same fashion. Adjustments can be made. The Old Testament says that God can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And God can restore the years that Satan has stolen. But obviously we need to recognize those things and move over. We see so many things in society that are going wrong today. And we just think there's nothing that can be done about it. And I highly disagree. If we turn our hearts and minds back to the things of God, then God can still change our society and change America and start blessing us once again, but those changes have to take place. And I would encourage you not to waste time in that process. I'm extremely thankful for the family. And obviously on Thanksgiving weekend, that is one of the things that we all celebrate and know about. Not only am I thankful for family, I'm also thankful for faith. The word faith is used 247 times in your King James Version Bible, but you know it's only used 2 times in the Old Testament. It's 245 times in the New Testament, and obviously our belief and trust in Christ is so emphasized in the New Testament, the word faith was not used in the Old Testament. Now, of course, they believed, but that actual word didn't take place but in 2 places. And I want to read to you, I want to do a little bit of a history lesson because the saying of if we forget what's happened in the past, we're doomed to repeat it. And that is absolutely true. And I'd like to have you go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you have your Bible this morning. In Deuteronomy 32, we're going to just do a little highlight. Deuteronomy, the name Deuteronomy means the second giving or the second law. And obviously there wasn't a new set of rules that God laid down, but there was a revisiting at the end of Moses' life to reemphasize what it is that they so believed in and wanted them to know going forward. I like 2 Timothy because it's talking about Paul's last letter. I like 2 Peter because it's Peter's last letter. And I like seeing what the emphasis is at the end of a life that those people want to make sure that we do not forget. And it's very important for you and I to look at the life of Israel because they're God's chosen people. God picked them specially to love them, not because they deserved it or because they were anything special, but because of God's grace, God chose the Jews. And in doing so, he gives us a tremendous life lesson for us to look at. And I'll tell you what they did well, God blessed, and what they did poorly, God got after them for. And so this morning, I want us to see one case, the first time the word faith is used in the Old Testament. And we're going to do a little overview here. I want you to start in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we'll start at verse number 7. It says, remember, say that with me, remember. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. And we're just going to catch some of the highlights as we go down through here. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam. And then verse 9, the Lord's portion is his people. Verse 10, he found in the desert land and waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirreth his nest. Verse 11. Verse 12, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange god with him. You can see the purity of the people of Israel and what they were doing. Verse 13, he made him ride on high places on the earth that he might eat of the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. These are all blessings from God. Verse 14, butter and kine. So we've got cow's milk, and we've got butter from cows, and we've got milk from sheep and fat of lambs, and none of this stuff does anything for me, but for men, I would change that. So you've got eggnog, and you've got obviously hot dogs and macaroni and cheese and all the good things that God gave you. All right. Verse 15, but Jeshuan is another word for the righteous people. But the righteous people waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock, capital R, the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations, which provoked him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils and to not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods. Isn't that interesting? Isn't society still wants to see some new thing? What do you got? Well, I'll tell you what, there's nothing like the old book. There's nothing like the old faith. Don't you get some new idea that there's something better than Jesus Christ. You abandon that thought. Don't ever go there. But the people of Israel did, and we need to see that. To new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not, of the rock that begat thee thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God. Forgotten God. Say that with me. Forgotten God. Verse 19, and when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. I want to stop right there and just say for a second, every now and then when you see someone ungrateful for the life they get to live and all that they have, and they think they have nothing, we called them brats growing up. Spoiled, rotten brats was the worst thing we could say about someone. And America's right chock full of them now. Why? Because we have forgotten God. We don't recognize where our blessings come from. Let's go on. Verse 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. Now I will stop right there and say, God says, okay, I'm going to remove my hand from them, and you're on your own, and we'll just see how this goes. Well, God knows how it's going to go. He's just saying that for our benefit. Let's just see how this goes. I can, as we watch our young people grow up, we see them take certain chances, whether it's taking the training wheels off the bike or certain things that, or I don't know about you, but we always built jumps with our bikes, and we've got these wood, and we got an old, obviously we always had firewood around, and so we'd take a chopping block and we'd lay that down, we'd put a 2x6 across it, and then we got to jump now. We try to come down the road, you know, and I know our parents are watching this stuff and thinking, let's just see how this goes, you know. Well, sometimes, sad to say, we're on our own before God. We have left the fold, if you will. Now, we can't lose our salvation, but God will take the hands off every now and then and say, let's just see how this goes. You're on your own. Verse 21, they have moved me to jealousy, that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. You go back to verse 20, and this is the key right here. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Children in whom is no faith. First time the word faith is used in your King James Version Bible. And all of that came about because they got fat and happy, decided that because of their own goodness, we've got all this stuff, and they started following things that had nothing to do with God Almighty. And their faith disappeared. Now, obviously, we're not the nation of Israel this morning. We live in the United States of America, in the state of Maine. We are sitting in the town of Exeter. But how's your faith? What are you believing this morning? What are you resting in? Faith. Not only that, in Habakkuk 2:4 is the other place it was told. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Say that with me. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in yourself? Faith in government? Faith in the system? The answer is faith in Almighty God. Even on our money, our founding fathers were wise enough to put on there, in God we trust. It's not in the cash. And I'll be honest with you, I've shared years ago, and not in this pulpit, but over in the older part, a lot of times my faith wasn't in God. It was in, okay, if I get in the next situation, I have a certain amount of money in the bank, can I handle it? So really, my faith was tied up in my resources and not in God. And I'll tell you what, folks, God can't bless that. God can bless when he strips you of all of that stuff and he puts you in a place where you know the only place you can turn to is God. And God is absent in America today because we've replaced faith in God with faith in government, faith in a system, faith in a program, so that whatever comes up, we have this safety net, which is turned into this safety hammock, that we can be all fat and happy just turning on and abiding by whatever we're told to do as long as we're not hungry. I'll tell you what, never mind. Faith in God Almighty. Well, who is God, someone will say. And I've had this conversation recently with someone that you don't know, and it doesn't matter, but it reminded me of some things that I strongly believe. His question was, who's God? Well, I said, God's the creator. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, what does he look like? Well, John 4:24 says, Jesus is speaking, and he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, how can I worship a spirit if that's the case? Well, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Okay, that's God. Now, in John chapter 1, if you go down to verse 14, that creator in John 1:1, that John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh. The Word became Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, Colossians says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay? So God knew. God, you know, newsflash, God knows you. He made you. And he knew. We have a hard time saying, okay, I'm going to worship a spirit. We have to see something. You go into Revelation in the throne room of God. I don't have all the answers here. I will tell you this. God confuses me. I know I'm the pastor of the church, and I'm the source of all answers at Cornerstone. Not. I'll tell you, when you talk about, if you think you understand God, you're out of your mind. He's bigger than we are. He's wiser than we are. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So no matter what we do, apart from this word right here, we walk by faith and not by sight. I don't want to get too far ahead of me. I'm going to try to explain to you my understanding of my faith in God and who God is. And I'll tell you the biblical answer. And I believe the biblical answer. But if it's all said and done, I have to take it by faith. Because I don't really get it. It's algebra to me. It is. And I never got algebra. And I don't totally get God, but I know what he's done for me. I see his effects. I know he's real. And someday I'll see him. But God gave us Jesus Christ, recognizing we had to see something. So he gave us Christ. And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you see Christ, you see God. And that's all I need. And obviously all the other parts about it, what the throne room of God looks like that's revealed in Revelation, I don't understand at all. Moses saw the hinder parts of God in the Old Testament. And so obviously God is a physical person. He looks like Jesus Christ. His spirit lives in us. My spirit bears witness with his spirit that I belong to him. All of those things come together. And if you want to pigeonhole me into a corner about some question that you have that I haven't answered, there's a good chance I can't answer it. But he's real. He's real. I know he's real. Praise God. The doubts are settled, for I know he's real. You can say, well, that's just blind ambition. That's blind faith. Well, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. At some point, You have to come to an understanding you will not get all your questions answered in this life. It can't happen. Explain some things to me. Mildred Cosser's in the hospital. Born with Downs. 1958. She's still with us. But it's my understanding she's dying. Explain that to me. I don't understand that any more than I understand God's plan. But God makes no mistakes. He's not capable of making an error. Whatever his plan is for us, he has done it. And he will do it. And it is correct. And along with a lot of things that I cannot clearly teach you from God's word, I know I can trust him. I know he's real. And my faith is settled in Jesus Christ. And I thank God for faith. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So God, who came in the form of Jesus Christ, gave his life that we could live. Let's all quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Allah, in the religion of Muhammad, the only guarantee you can have that you'll go to heaven when you die is if you give your life in defense of Allah. That's all they got. Now, you can try and work, and hope when you get there it's okay. It won't be. But this is what they teach. You give your life, you die. There's a chance you'll get there. Well, God also requires death for sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans says in Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. Say that with me. The wages of sin is death. Without faith in Jesus Christ, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but the reality of it is, every one of us here, if Christ does not return, and he hasn't yet, I believe he will, but who knows when, if all things being equal, if he doesn't come back like he hasn't yet, you and I will all die. If you die without Christ, the wages of your sin is death. You died in your sin. The punishment for your sin is death, and you died. Congratulations. And you went to hell. Before I went to sleep last night, I mentioned to my wife, I says, I hope I'm wrong about hell. I hope somehow in a million years they can truly be annihilated and they could no longer exist. I think it's better for you to never be born, to never have existed, than to exist and deny God and live forever in hell. The gravity of it is more than, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I struggle with. So I so understand why preachers will change their message and go liberal and say, oh, it's probably not that. But I'm afraid it is. And it's too grave to fool around with. And I just want you to know that the wages of sin is death. But God loves you. Say that with me. But God loves you. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. He looked at you. Ever seen your kids sick and want to take their place? I have, recently. Cody was throwing up every 20 minutes for 4 hours. Every 20 minutes. Danielle can attest to this. She was babysitting him, poor kid. So she calls all rattled. I would be too. You know? Don't you love all that? You see this kid and he's getting ready to throw up, and he looked at his mother and he said, bucket, please. Doesn't that rip your heart out? You know? And he isn't even your son. He's mine. You can't have him. So anyway, I'm thinking, wouldn't I love to take his place? But you can't. We can't. We're human. But God, knowing Stan Griffin was going to die and go to hell. And here's the deal. And this didn't happen. This isn't biblical, but it's run through my mind. Let's say we had a meeting with God. And he looked at me and he says, Stan, you can have eternal life, but I need you to sacrifice your son. I couldn't do that. Say, God, I can't do that. And then God looks at me and he says, okay, I don't think you can, but I can and I will. Because that's what he did. He gave what we could not do. I'm not asking for hands because we wouldn't get anyone. Who here is willing to give one of their offspring for the world to live? Zero. I'm not doing it. Humanly speaking, sometimes I think things that I probably shouldn't say. I love you folks, but not one of you are worth my son. No chance, no offense. But God, knowing he controls death, he controls life, he could pay the penalty for sin, he loved us so much that I believe hell is real, because if you refuse that gift, the gift of his son, I think the wrath of God, I don't think the Bible says the wrath of God abides on you. How could you? And I'll tell you what, one thing we do is we're protective of our kids. And I think we can relate to how God feels when you look down at the gift of his son and say you're not interested. God have pity on your soul. Because that's what it comes down to. What's my faith in? My faith is in Almighty God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't know of a greater story than that. I can't imagine us keeping quiet about that. I can't imagine not being salt and light about that message, because I'm telling you, life doesn't begin until you've met Christ. And on Thanksgiving weekend, I'm thankful for family, and I'm thankful for faith. And lastly, we're out of time. I'm thankful for favor. Favor is this. The Bible says favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but that's not what I'm talking about in favor. Favor as a verb is I could do a favor for Mark. I don't intend to, but I could. Okay? So favor is if we, I'll do this favor for you. But favor as a noun is the favor that God looks on me and does things for me that I don't deserve. We call it grace. And so I made a list of things that I hope I can get through. I grew up in a Christian home with a mom and dad that are still with me. Not everybody gets to say that. I have known the love of two women in my life. And I did never want to be able to say that. I used to love to be able to joke around and introduce Lori and say, I want you to meet my first wife. I can't say that anymore. And to know that I had all the blessings of God, and it seemed like he took it away from me, and then for him to have something else in mind. And you know, there are regrets in life, and if you and Emily and I talked about this week, there are regrets in life, and you think, well, if I could go back and change this. And so I told her the things that I was thinking. I says, I wish Lori had never died, but then I'd never have Emily. And if Lori had never died, I wouldn't have Cody and Katie. And then I said, so I wish I never had been married to Lori. I wish I'd never met her. I wish Emily could have been my first wife, but then I wouldn't have Phil and Tori. Do you see how messed up life would be if we could be God? We'd have no chance of appreciating the things that he has for us, even if it looks horrible at the time. Because with God, there's no true horrible. Now, without God, there is a lot of true horrible. But Emily and I, years ago, when I've shared this, we were watching a John Wayne movie, and one of the characters, and it says, I envy you. You've known the love of two women in your life. And I looked over at Emily, we were watching the movie together, and I said, that's me. That's me. I have been the pastor of the Cornerstone Baptist Church for 23 years. And you folks are the greatest group of people I've ever been around. And it hasn't always been up. There's been some downs. We've had some losses. We've preached some funerals. We've said goodbye to some folks. But I'll tell you what, there's something special about coming to church on Sunday and knowing your family's going to be there. And it obviously, we're not blood family, but we're blood in Christ family, you know? And I know a lot of your stories, and I know how God has blessed you. And obviously the list could go on, but I've said all that not to brag. It's got nothing to do with it. I deserve nothing I have. There isn't any part of me that looks around and says, oh God, you should have done this for me. There's nothing I deserve. I have God's favor in my life. And the wheels could fall off tomorrow. Who knows? Who knows what the future holds? But I'll tell you what, there is no chance God's going to do something awful to me because he doesn't love me. That's not possible. I am so blessed. And obviously we sing that song, and I'm going to close with this. A.W. Tozier said this. He says, sometimes I go to God and say, God, if thou dost never answer another prayer while I live on this earth, I will still worship thee as long as I live in the ages to come for what thou hast done already. God's already put me so far in debt that if I were to live 1 million millenniums, I couldn't pay him for what he's done for me. And I couldn't agree with that statement more. Thanksgiving. Thankful for family, for faith, for God's favor. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Life's not easy. But in America, it's easier than a lot of places. You have blessed us as a family, as a church. And the greatest blessing is a belief and faith in Jesus Christ. And I don't have all the answers, but I have enough of them. And God, I pray that here this morning, in the quietness of the hour, as time is fleeting, if we know you as our Savior, we would say, God, thank you that you're my God, you're my Savior, your Spirit dwells in me, and I know that I'm saved. And Lord, if there are folks here that can't say those words because maybe their pride is holding them back, or maybe they're waiting for more answers that could or may not be coming. If they've heard a clear gospel presentation and realize that you loved them, created them, sent your son to die for them, and they're still not interested, then God pity their soul. But if they're willing this morning, I pray that they'd say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior. I accept you. I reject my old life. I want to be born again to you. Lord, I pray they'd say those words or something like that. Trust you as their Savior.